Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
We're all concerned about peace. The subject of peace permeates the Scriptures. The word peace is found 400 times in the Bible. It's found 296 times in the Old Testament and 104 times in the New Testament. The peace to which we should give the highest priority is the peace of God, which comes from the God of peace. That's what we'll be discussing today. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, Paul writes, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We also find in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 14, 33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." In our study together today, we're going to concentrate our thoughts on a passage from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. This beautiful passage in Philippians provides a picture of this peace that is paramount to all others. And so let's read these verses. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Now listen to verse 9. "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." You see, in verse 7, he speaks of the peace of God, and in verse 9, the God of peace. And today we're going to talk about the peace of God that comes from the God of peace, as Paul refers to God in Philippians 4 and verse 9. What are the characteristics of this peace? Let's use these verses to notice those characteristics. You see, he begins in verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer." And that gives us a key to the peace of God. It is perpetuated by prayer. The peace of God is perpetuated by prayer. "Let your request be made known unto God." Let your prayers be perpetual. The prayer life of the child of God is so vitally important. It's so powerful in the life of the Christian. Prayer is the answer to anxiety. We're to have concern, but there's a difference between genuine concern and anxiety. We're to have concern for our families and for the future. In fact, Paul writes in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 and says that if a man will not provide for his own, that is for his own family, and especially those of his own household, then he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so if he will not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he's denied the faith. He's worse than an unbeliever. That suggests, obviously, that there must be a genuine concern, a proper concern, but not an anxiety. You see, we can become overly concerned about material things. Lose sight of the fact that Jesus, for example, in the Sermon on the Mount, promised those who are children of God that if they will but put first the kingdom of God, the church, put first spiritual things, then God will take care of other things. And in that beautiful text in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25, he admonishes us, Jesus does, not to worry about our lives, what we'll eat or what we'll drink, or about our bodies, what we'll put on. He asks the question, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Tells us to look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of us by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And so why worry about clothing? Remember then he used the lilies of the field. Consider them, he said, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And so, we have so many lessons on anxiety and avoiding anxiety and worry. Yes, being concerned, properly concerned, but not overly anxious. Prayer is the answer to anxiety. We take our petitions before the God of heaven as children of God. If indeed we have become His children through obedience to the gospel, what a beautiful and wonderful privilege prayer is, and that praying relationship. And so peace is perpetuated by the life that is punctuated by prayer, regularly punctuated by prayer. But also, in this text, we see that the peace of God, according to Paul in verse 7, surpasses all understanding. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? This peace that we're talking about here surpasses all understanding. Well, that means that it's not like the peace that the world pursues and prizes. In fact, in John 14:27, Jesus made this statement to His disciples. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." And then He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Oh, what a wonderful reassurance that is. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why, Lord? Because I am leaving my peace with you. It's not like the world gives. It's not a cessation from outward hostility. It's a peace that continues regardless of what is going on externally. Whether we're being persecuted, whether we're being tried, there's an inner peace, the peace that comes from God through Jesus Christ, that is always present with the child of God. The human mind has difficulty fully comprehending the peace of God. But oh, how we should prize it. And something else in the 7th verse here of Philippians 4 is that the peace of God protects. What does it protect? The heart and mind. You see, he says the peace of God, which is perpetuated by prayer, verse 6, which passes all understanding, surpasses all understanding according to the New King James, also protects the hearts and minds. But the key is through Christ Jesus. There's a hymn, part of which says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." The song is, "It is well with my soul." When peace like a river attendeth my way, it is well with my soul. If indeed it's not that false peace that we talked about last time. Peace should surround our hearts and provide a security based upon the knowledge of salvation. Surrounds us. You see, the word translated guard here in Philippians 4:7 has a military connotation. It's like a military guard that is placed around the heart. That's the peace that guards. But you see, it is a peace, as we've just said, that comes through the knowledge of salvation. Now, let's talk for just a moment about that. How important it is to appreciate the fact that we can have the knowledge of salvation. We can know. We can know. We don't have to speculate about whether or not we've been saved and thus whether or not we can truly enjoy this genuine peace. We can know that. How do we know it? We know it based upon the revealed will of God through Jesus Christ. The New Testament, the law under which we live, the revealed New Testament of Christ tells us what to do in order to be saved. And once we have done that and we know that we have complied with the revealed will of Christ, then what? We know that we have that peace, that it's not a false peace based upon the false promises and premises that and so forth we talked about last time. But it is a peace that's provided through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, through obedience to His gospel, which tells us to do what? Believe that He is the Prince of Peace, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then to repent of our sins, confess Him as Jesus the Christ, and then be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins. It's the peace that comes through the Prince of Peace. Isaiah prophesied the coming of that Prince of Peace long ago when he wrote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah 9, verse 6. And the angels announced His coming. Remember, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Although peace is possible for all men through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, it is provided only to certain ones. Now, for a few moments, let's talk about who those certain ones are to whom peace is provided by the Prince of Peace. It's to the pure in heart. It's to the pure in heart. You see, He'll guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But then in verse 8, Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure." Whatever things are pure. Think on these things among the lovely things, the good report. Purity is mentioned there. It reminds us of the great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus in Matthew 5, 8 said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You see, the pure in heart are those to whom the Prince of Peace provides real peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. The pure in heart are those whose hearts have been purified. And how is that done? Well, we've already alluded to it. It's done by obeying the truth. Listen to what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. He said, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Now, what does Peter say? He's writing to Christians. Christians who had done something already in their past. What was it they had done? "You have purified your souls." Your hearts, your minds, you've purified yourselves. How, Peter? In obeying the truth, notice this, through the Spirit. What does he mean there? Through the teaching of the Spirit. The only way that I can know how to purify my soul in obeying the truth is by the Spirit's revealing the truth. And how has he done that? In this Word, the final revelation of God to man. And so the Spirit is the one through whom the truth is revealed, the truth which I must obey and by which I purify my soul. And then in sincere love of the brethren, I'm to continue to love one another fervently with that pure heart. Now listen to verse 23. Having been born again. Having been. Looking back to that point in time when I obeyed the gospel. Born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Through what, Peter? Through some direct, miraculous operation of the Spirit? No, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Oh, what an emphasis is placed upon the power of the Word of God to purify the soul. Right here in this passage. Having been born again, listen to it again, verse 23. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Then he goes on in verses 24 and 25 to say, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. What word is that, Peter? Now this is the Word which by the gospel was preached to you. The Holy Spirit has revealed the saving truth through the Word. We have it written and recorded in its completion, its perfection. And when we obey that truth, we purify the soul of sin. And that purification of the soul from sin prepares one to practice purity then throughout one's life. The knowledge of purification produces peace. But you see, I can only have the knowledge of purification when I know that I've obeyed the teaching of the Word of God. The knowledge of purification produces peace. Listen to another passage from the Colossian epistle. In Colossians, the Apostle Paul speaks of peace. Peace that comes to those who have obeyed the truth. Colossians 1, verse 20. By Him, Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace. How? Through the blood of His cross. You see, the only way that I can have peace with God is through the blood of His cross. But the only place I can contact that blood is in baptism. Why? Because baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And in His death, the blood was shed. John 19, verse 34, when the soldier pierced His side and there came forth blood and water. In His death, the blood was shed, and in the likeness of His death, the blood is applied. By heaven itself, as I submit to a watery burial, where not the water but the blood that's applied there cleanses me from my sins and makes peace with God and produces peace within. Remember the beautiful hymn, Peace, Perfect Peace? A part of that hymn tells us, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. To be pure in heart involves thinking about the right things according to this passage. Thinking about the right things. The peace of God is provided to those who are pure in heart, who think about the right things, whose hearts are pure, having been purified by the obedience to the gospel. But the peace of God is also provided to those who practice righteousness. Well, that's verse 9 of Philippians 4, where Paul writes, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these what? These do. Keep on doing is the idea here. And so, practicing righteousness perpetuates peace. These things do. That is, practice them. Make a habit of them. Keep on doing them. John wrote, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. 1 John 2:29. And you're not born of Him, John says there. You're not born of Him if you don't practice, that is, keep on doing what is right. And so, the peace of God is provided to those who practice righteousness. Now, false peace. We discussed that in our last lesson. Remember that false peace, a peace that we may think is genuine, but is not really genuine. How does it come? It comes from false prophets, false teachers, remember? It comes from false promises. It comes from false premises that lead to false conclusions. And it comes, as we noted last time, from false practices. As we previously stated, doing the will of the Father produces a peace that is pure and perfect. You remember last time we said there will be those at the judgment who will say, as Naaman said once, behold, I thought certain things were true. I thought I could be saved by faith alone. I thought, etc. Remember? We talked about several of those things. But remember also that we said, behold, I thought will not be an acceptable defense at the judgment. Because the Lord will remind us, behold, you should have known. Because you see, you had the will of my Father. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. But as we've noted, the blood of Jesus is contacted in baptism. That is the will of the Father. The question is, are you willing to do the will of the Father by believing in Jesus Christ, His Son, by repenting of your sins, confessing Him to be the Christ, and then by being buried in baptism where His blood will reach you there to cleanse you from every sin and allow you to rise to walk in newness of life, being added to the church. The church we read about in the New Testament. Today,